Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And happy Monday to all of you as we get in deep into the bowels of the holiday season. Feels like now we are deep into the trenches of the war against Christmas, or the war in favor of Christmas, depending upon your side of choice.
But we're all avoiding, or trying to win when we get it, and I see that some of you have lost it already.
Yeah, I don't know how we have survived Whamageddon as long as we have this season.
No, because we've been in stores, which we usually don't do.
Yeah, we've been in multiple stores and restaurants where they were playing Christmas music, had Christmas lights going, and with that goddamn movie out, I had just assumed last Christmas was going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
That has not panned out for us.
No.
But it has certainly panned out for a lot of you. We see this on social media, so my heart's young. We spent today at the Renaissance Festival, which we're going to be talking about in a minute.
Right.
Christmas music all up in there, too, in some of the shops.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
I heard it, and we did not get bit. We got, about 8,000 renditions of Jingle Bells. But yes, if we do lose Whamageddon, we will post about it, probably not at our website, which is hauntweekly.com, but we'll do it on our social media, which is Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Now, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, we spent today at the local Renaissance Festival. It was the last day of the season.
Yes.
Louisiana Renaissance. In fact, it was the last day of 2019. It was the last day of the century. I mean,
Oh,
wow.
God.
Oh, God. I'm just jinxed. Louisiana Renaissance Festival. Oh, my God. Last one of the decade.
Yes.
Words matter, Jonathan. One of those has the festival closing.
Yes.
Last one of the decade. And so, yeah, a pretty big deal. I've never closed out a Renaissance Festival before. This was a lot of fun, a new experience for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was our second trip of the year, as we'll be discussing in more detail. But it got us thinking about lessons haunted attractions can learn from Renaissance fairs. And that's what we're talking about today. Because basically, a lot of the time, what's going to be talking about on the Monday on this podcast is decided about whatever the hell we do Sunday.
Pretty much, yeah.
Think I'm kidding, don't you? But first we have to do our usual spate of conference reminders. It is an even episode. Therefore, I kick things off by reminding you coming up this Friday, December 13th, it is the Lost Souls Haunted Bus Tour Xmas Edition in Chicago, Illinois, touring Massacre Haunted House before opening with a free Xmas drink and Midnight Terror with a free holiday meal. Tickets are just $75, includes a better than VIP admission to these holiday haunts, transportation to and fro, entertainment en route, all the stuff you need. LostSoulsChicago.com for more information.
Okay. And January 17th through the 19th is HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. We'll also be involved.
Yes, in multiple respects.
If you haven't heard it already, we do have an event at our haunt on January 17th. We're also speaking. I'm not sure if they've got the schedule out for that yet.
They do. We're speaking Saturday.
Okay.
The day after we have our thing, so that's going to be
actually,
a lot of fun.
That's going to be easier than last year when it was the same day that you spoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, because this is a new talk, and we're not going to be able to prepare the night before for it, really.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Anyway, and you may also have a second talk. Still
don't know anything about that yet.
HauntCon.com for more info about everything else not about us going on.
If you want to come to our thing, go to Haunt Weekly on Twitter. I mean, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Good God, Jonathan, you are off your rocker today. Haunt Weekly on Facebook. I have pinned the event to the top of our Facebook page.
Yes.
So if you just go there, you'll see it first thing. Add yourself as going. Don't mark yourself as interested if you are going. If you're definitely going, add yourself as going so we can get a head count for transportation and other things that we will be doing adjacent to it.
Yes.
All right. After HauntCon, February 21st to the 23rd in Pomona, California, it's HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo. At the Fairplex, they'll be touring Asylum Haunted House, lights on and off. It will also feature a costume ball. HauntX.com for more information.
Okay, really far out from now. May 15th through the 17th, it's Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. It features ghost hunt, costume party, and haunted house tours, and I'm sure there will be lots more to do. You can find out what that is as it becomes available at Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention.com.
All right. We're going to do a big update on that list probably in the next news episode, but yeah, we're kind of in the doldrums of conferences. Things kick off more earnest come spring and summer, realistically.
Yeah.
But definitely a lot of these stuff.
That's not surprising.
That's general conference season, yeah. Too, if we're being honest. All right, but anyways, as usual, we like to start things off, well, usual lately. Starting off with a quick update on our haunt, we have resumed active work on it. We've actually put in some pretty good time out there. First thing we did is a good deal of clean out.
Yes.
Which is always kind of a weird thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we hit a point where I'm like, oh, we're never going to get it done. This is nowhere near complete. This is nowhere near finished. Look at all this crap everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're doomed. People are going to shove. I'm going to be naked. And everybody's going to come and see a non-existent haunt. It's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
And then we spend just like an hour cleaning out. It's like, holy crap, this looks like a haunted house now.
Yeah, you exactly. Know?
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
In a very big way. It's like, oh yeah, we did finish nearly all the builds.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's, you know, my nightmares have begun for this.
HauntCon now, yeah. Since we didn't get to open the season, January 17th is our new quote-unquote opening.
Right.
And we probably won't have everything in the final resting place for it.
Right.
There's one big change I think we're not going to make for the 17th.
Right.
That we may do. We're talking about it and we're going to see how the schedule is. I would like to make the change, but that's on the bottom of the list because it will function where it is.
Yeah, exactly.
But right now we are working on one particularly troublesome corner. The corner that has perplexed us and bothered us pretty much since our inception.
Yeah, and every haunt that I've been to has one of these.
Yeah.
It's the little piece of your haunt that you have no idea how to make it work.
Yeah, and
or flow right. Or something's weird about the dimensions.
Sorry, I'm dealing with stomach issues tonight. If I'm coughing more than usual, blame it on my tum-tum. But I remember, like, when the House of Shock, we would go there year after year, and there's this one hallway, and it was a transition hallway between one section and another.
Right.
And it was in the first part. It was in what was, like, their 3D area, usually. Yeah. And it never freaking work because it was such an odd shape, such an odd size. And I don't know what to tell them to do different, what they could have done different.
Yeah.
It was such a weird place to be and it's such a weird thing to try to do anything with. Eventually with New Orleans Nightmare, I think they just took the some bitch out entirely and rearranged the whole thing.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't see it in there now, but I don't see that segment.
Well, and at 13th Gate, the segment where they use all of the strobe, which we've talked to Dwayne about.
Yeah.
And we now know that that's because that's a really short hallway that's a weird space. It's just a weird space. And it seems like every place has one of these.
We're not building houses. We're building haunted houses. And when you build weird, fucked up shaped rooms, you're going to make some spaces that aren't necessarily the most useful.
Right.
And that's what happened in this corner. We're finally trying another thing to fix it. One thing we're doing is we took out some lighting.
Yeah.
And we're building proper panels in this area to reduce light leaks and other problems we'd had in the area behind it.
Yeah.
And it also improved the stability of the scene for another scare we're actually going to try to add in the area in the room behind it. But more importantly, it's going to give a more natural flow to the room.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. It was not on our plan list, but we went out there and said, you know, we took down that light, we took down this wall. We could do a lot with more of the space.
Yeah, exactly.
And we just kind of started doing it after the clean out.
Yeah.
I don't know if we really had a plan in mind at the time, but hey, it's haunting.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need no plans.
Well, you know, we need a general idea of the direction to go in.
Yes. So yeah, we're doing that. All is going pretty well there. You've been ill these past few days.
Yeah.
You actually missed work Friday, so we haven't done much over the weekend. And this trip to the RenFest has been planned for some time.
Right.
Loosely planned for some time. Yeah. So we didn't do anything really today, but we're going to be back out there Monday, and it's going to be a few hours. We should have a bigger report next week, but it's going to be a couple hours of work every night, probably until the 17th now.
Oh, yeah, and the road
The road. Oh, good God.
It's still torn up. It's worse than it was. And now they're telling us that they have to wait for the weather to be consistently above 58 degrees
in order to pour concrete for the curbs and driveways. And I'm like, you sons of bitches, you tore it out before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
There's only like 2 months out of the year New Orleans isn't consistently above 58.
Yeah.
And you literally did the tear out the week before it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm seeing if there's any time this week that it's above 58. And no.
No.
No is the answer.
No is the answer. No, God damn it. So this is going to be fun. I don't know where we're going with this still. Yeah, the road is the road might be a big chunk of why my stomach is so torn up these days.
It could be.
The stress and all that jazz of it. Oh, God, it's a freaking
mood. Oh, actually.
What?
Well, okay, so this week it is going to be warm enough to do it, but it's going to be raining, so.
Oh, for crap. That's winter in New Orleans. If the temperature gets above, 60-ish, it's probably because a front's coming through and it's raining.
Exactly. It's going to be in the 70s this week.
Okay. Get that cough out there and move on with our lives, because that could just be our little punctuation on that damn mess.
Yeah.
All right, so we made a trip today to the Louisiana Renaissance Festival. It was actually our second of the season.
Right.
Our first, we were a little bit blinded by rum.
Yes.
A lot bit blinded by rum.
So for the first time, we did one of their tastings. Ellie was gracious and got us a rum tasting.
I am a rum connoisseur, so this was this was right up my alley. And
yes.
And you two came along and seemed to enjoy it just as much as I did, actually.
Yeah, by the second one, it was great.
Well, and that was the thing. It's like, okay, I thought rum tasting, they're going to pour you these little quarter shots of rum.
Right.
And you're going to swish it around and then drink, and you're going to get like a couple of shots out of it, basically. By the end. No, they poured us 8 full fucking shots of rum.
Yeah.
And this was after I'd had a couple of drinks at the Christoph the Insulter show right before we went.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I left there feeling really good.
Yeah.
Really, I don't remember much else about that day. I know we did stuff. I know we saw Christoph again.
Yes.
But yeah. Yeah. So we didn't get a lot of deep thinking done. Is what I'm trying to hit at on that trip. But this time around, we had a more sober run with it.
Right.
Not saying no drinking was involved. God, no.
Yeah, but with me recovering from illness and...
you having to drive, or one of us having to drive, basically.
Yeah.
We weren't going to get too sloshed.
No.
But we were talking and chatting about it while roaming around. We realized that these are a lot like haunted attractions in many ways.
Yeah.
I mean, think about some of the similarities real fast. One is they both take guests away to a fantasy world of their design.
Yeah.
Renaissance Festival, obviously, it's going to be a quote-unquote, it's not really a Renaissance period, let's be honest with ourselves.
No.
But to a period piece where haunted attractions try to take people away to a horror-themed place.
Right.
Try to instill a desired emotions.
No.
Renaissance festivals typically try to instill a sense of wonder, where haunted attractions obviously are trying to instill fear and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Both charge admission, but try to get extra cash out of people.
Right.
Ticket price is just one part of the plan, ultimately, hopefully.
Yeah.
Both deal with large crowds and queues. Renaissance festivals actually dealing with much larger crowds than most haunted attractions do.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own sense of kayfabe to them, and that there is this in-character aspect of it.
Right.
That you can't break.
Correct.
If you go back to our kayfabe and haunting episode, which I really should have looked up the number on, we talk about that, this idea that you're building a fantasy world and you don't want to break that illusion, even though everyone knows it's not real.
That was 150.
150 was the kayfabe and haunting episode.
Yep.
And there's often very violent and horror themes in both. Renaissance and medieval times and so forth were not the kindest and gentlest.
No.
And in fact, our Renaissance Festival has an actual haunted attraction in it in the form of the Torture Museum.
Yeah. A Dungeon of Doom.
A Dungeon of Terror, whatever the crap it is. I forget the name. It sucks, by the way.
Yeah.
It straight up sucks. I'm not even going to pretend.
Well, I think it's worth the $5 to do it once.
Yeah.
But they never change it.
The reason to do it once, honestly, is to go to the gift shop.
They took that out last year.
They did?
Yep.
Those bastards!
I know. It was a really cool
gift
shop.
Oh my god, they killed the...
Yes.
Those bastards!
Yes. This is the best part of it.
Those bastards! Oh my god! Folks, I am shook. I did not know this. I am shaken.
Yeah.
My cockles have been wrecked. I am horrified and oh my god, because that gift shop was amazing.
Yeah.
That was the only, it was like, I would pay $5 for admission to that gift shop.
Yeah, exactly. And we did often.
Yeah, we did. That's the reason we went a few extra times. Like you said, they never changed it.
Right.
But it was an interesting study in panel-based construction.
It was.
So, as a haunter, you could do that, too.
Yeah.
But the torture devices, you know, if you've ever been to a Ripley's Museum, you've seen better. And
yeah, but there's the history there, and you know, they did build it to where it's outdoor all year round now for multiple years.
Yeah,
and it's still standing, so that's something.
Yeah. But anyway, so bastards. Oh my god,
I think I broke Jonathan.
Yeah, you did. Anyway, so we started talking about the similarities, and then we wanted to talk about things that haunted attractions can learn from RenFest, and there are a bunch, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with 7 things at the end, and we're going to dive into them starting now. First, the flow of human traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal, we just spent, I think, 5 or 6 hours at the RenFest. Did you ever once think about, you know, where do I have to go? What are my options for where do I go?
Today, no.
It was very natural feeling. And the reason is our RenFest is built around a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And the long story short is the roads and paths are laid out to form an easy circle around the lake. You have a good landmark in the center of the lake. You always know which side of you want the lake to be on. And you can pretty much always see it.
Yes.
And so with that bearing, you always know which way you're heading. You're not getting confused. So it's an interesting use of a landmark, but also, and I think more important, wide open paths with no sharp turns.
Exactly.
There's no right angles
anywhere
that I can think of.
No, it's all rounded.
It's all very, even there is technically one right near the jousting place, but even that doesn't feel like a right turn because it comes to this little, I guess you call it market area.
Yeah.
It's more like a roundabout than a right turn.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, basically the pathway opens up into a field that's on all sides, has either stages or shops.
Yeah. So, long story short, from the entrance of the park, and this has been true, we've only done the Louisiana one and the Texas one.
Yeah.
But I found this to be true of both. You can come in and then make an easy loop around it. It's designed so that whether you go left or right, doesn't really matter, you can make an easy path all the way back to the beginning and along the way see pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Like I said, no sharp turns, no hard 90 degree angles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing more and more haunts try to do this festival atmosphere.
Right.
And we saw, especially saw in the Houston trip.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the things I remember about Creepy World, Creepy Hollow. Creepy World, Illinois. I get those two mixed up all the time for some reason. I don't know how that happens. I totally know how it happens. But long story short was we couldn't find half the stuff.
I think you are talking about Creepy World.
It's all creepy. Anyways, we couldn't find half the stuff because it was hidden behind right angle turns.
Yeah.
And we kept missing and walking right past these turns that we were apparently supposed to just instinctively know were there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we struggled to find some of the things we wanted and they needed to do, considering the ticket we bought, we needed to do these things.
And you're right, it's Creepy Hollow.
Okay. Yeah, I get them mixed up all the time because it's so easy, because we've got history in Illinois and history in Houston now.
Right.
It's just too easy in my brain. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and we saw this also at Red Rum in Houston, because even though that's a much smaller park in terms of land area, it's the same deal with lots of right turns and things forking off at hard angles. You can't easily see or just naturally walk to things. You have to actively work to find your way to things.
Right, and to figure out which one you're supposed to go to first, or which one you might want to go to first.
Yeah, there's no natural kind of flow to it, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And it's very frustrating.
It is.
Now, is it frustrating to customers that come on their second, third, fourth, fifth time?
No.
Not really, not as much. But you're a haunted attraction. How many times per year does your average customer come by?
Yeah.
And so think about it. Most of your customers, it's going to be their first time, either literally or functionally.
Right.
Because I don't remember the path I walk to get the things, you know, in haunted houses, even if I go every year.
Mm-mm.
How many years did it take us to learn how to walk to the House of Shog? 3 or 4, at least. We eventually got the hang of it. Because it had that weird thing where you had to go, and then the ticket booth was here, and then you had to hook a left, and it was way down, and then the state, it was weird.
It was. And it still is kind of weird how far away you have to park.
Yeah.
But they don't have the ticket booth up close to where you park now. It's down closer to where you enter.
It's still bizarre, but it's not as bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically the goal when you're laying out, especially if you have multiple attractions and multiple things going on, the goal should be that someone can naturally do a circle and see just about everything. Because if you look at how stores are laid out, like Walmarts and Targets and crap, they lay everything out with the idea of a right-hand loop.
Yes.
I mean, you worked at Michael's for a time. Was your Michael's laid out on a right-hand loop? Come in, you have a path to your right that's natural to go all the way around, and then it leads you to the cash register on the other side?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how stores are laid out. That's how haunted attractions, especially when they're outdoors and doing this theme, this festival thing, should be laid out.
Mm-hmm.
So, RenFest seemed to do that pretty well. Haunted attractions, less so, at least with our sample size.
Yes.
Item 2. Always something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Pull up the schedule of your local RenFest real fast. Or pull up the Louisiana one at the very least. And Louisiana one, by the way, is not a big one.
No, it's tiny.
It is a tiny RenFest, all things considered. Which actually I kind of like because it makes it possible to do reasonably everything in a day.
Right.
But pull up your local RenFest schedule. Look for the shows. Look for the events.
Well, and so... It does and it doesn't, because you can do most of the shows, but you can't do all of the shows in a day.
You can do everything you likely want to do, though.
Right.
In a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't do absolutely everything. Like, we didn't get to see the Washing Women, which is one of our favorite things.
Right.
Today. But
and there are people on the path talking about how they couldn't do everything in a single day.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking
about. You can't do every single show, no. But everything you're likely interested in, you can do.
Mm-hmm.
With a little pre-planning, at least. But anyways, they have... This tiny RenFest has something starting every 15 to 30 minutes.
Yes.
Like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something going on. You're never want for something to do.
No.
You walk out of one show, you can pull out your program and go, okay, what are we doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can just barely make it to Chase Treasure. We can just barely make it to, what was the Jackdaws over?
Yeah,
they were awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, everyone I've listed is awesome, but you can make it, you pull it out and you immediately have your next thing.
Right, exactly. And if you've gone a few times, you know which ones you're most likely go to. And what we did today was we went to one that we really wanted to go to, Christoph the Insulter. And then we went and explored and checked out some of the other acts.
That's the thing. We didn't actually even have a program for most of it.
No.
Kind of deliberately abandoned that idea. We knew the one thing we wanted to go to at the time we wanted to go to and where it was. But everything else was we just kind of free roamed the park. hey, there's music coming from that there pirate ship. Let's go in and catch a few songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, there's something going on here. Let's stick our head and watch these grown men beat the living piss out of one another with
yeah.
heavy foam weapons while in full plate. I don't understand it.
Well, I didn't understand the point system on that.
How the hell do you win that?
I don't know.
9 times out of 10, the loser looked like the winner to me.
Yeah, me too.
It was still absolutely insane to watch these grown men literally just beat the ever-loving crap out of one another, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was very interesting, this is a complete aside, because they would sometimes have the weapons fly out of their hands, and now they're just, like, punching each other in full plate armor.
Exactly.
Like, boxing match. I'm like, Jesus!
Headbutts and
headbutts and takedowns. It's like... It's like full metal MMA. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was awesome, but also very confusing.
Yes, they were trying to recruit really hard for people to come and join them.
And the answer is hell no. I'm goddamn near 40. Fuck you.
Yeah. Maybe a younger Jonathan.
21-year-old Jonathan probably would have, his drunk ass probably would have jumped at that.
Yeah.
39-year-old Jonathan will take a piss off.
Yeah.
I'm about to turn into Bernie Baxter and play him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just it. And even if you don't have a show or something, there's food, there's shops.
Right.
There's little demos going on. There's always something to do. I don't recall in the entire 5 hours we were there ever doing nothing or waiting to do something.
No.
We were never waiting in a queue.
No.
We were never just standing around going, well, I don't know what we're going to do.
No. No, we just wandered until we found something that looked interesting and did it.
There's always something to do.
Yeah.
RenFest keep customers doing things. And the impact of that was we spent a lot of goddamn money today.
Yeah, we did.
I'm scared to look at our bank account level of money we spent.
Yeah. There's... So, we also took cash.
Yeah. Which helped.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's just it. We were always doing things. Now, you go to a lot of haunted attractions that are trying to do the festival thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of people just standing around in queue, not doing anything. They're not being entertained by any queue line actors. They're not taking photos. They're not doing anything.
Right. So more options would be one possibility.
If you want people to spend time at your haunt, you have to minimize the time they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, RenFest have really mastered this.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to think of other ways that haunts could implement this. Like, have shows, because most of the shows are on a tip basis. You pay entry into the festival. I'm assuming most of our listeners have gone to a Renaissance festival, but probably some of them haven't. And so that gets you entry into the festival area.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't pay for anything inside of it.
No.
So you go to shows, you tip your performers.
Mm-hmm.
You buy your food separate. You can go to the shops and buy merchandise separate.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I mean, and that is something that, like, I find very interesting. And I actually have a little bit lower down about a way that mm-hmm. haunts could implement this better.
Right.
But yeah, I always find that haunted attractions, it's kind of weird, the language.
Mm-hmm.
Because haunted attractions often talk about a long queue line like it's an amazing thing. We're busy, we're popular, we're doing well. No, you have hundreds of people standing around doing nothing, getting more pissed off the longer they wait.
No.
And not spending money.
Yeah. Actually, Camp Blood had a good system.
Yes.
For
that is a good example.
For being able, so over in
Atlanta, near Atlanta.
Near Atlanta, Camp Blood, you would get a
card.
A card that had a number on it. And
that was a letter, but it doesn't matter.
Letter.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. It had a card with a marker on it of some kind.
We're hooked on phonics. It was a 1, 2, 3 ABCD. We don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. It was years ago.
It was years ago when it was the last haunt of that very long day. We were extremely tired.
Yeah. So we were walking around, we were able to walk around, go to visit the concession stand, go to visit the gift shop. basically go and do the games that they had while waiting to get into the haunt because they had this card and a PA system.
And the PA and comes on like, Group A, come to the gate, Group A.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's like six of us here because they're like minutes from closing.
Exactly. We weren't even sure we were getting in kind of close to closing.
We literally walked up and the ticket booth was closed.
Yeah, there was nobody there.
But regardless, we did get in. It was a great time.
Yes.
It was actually a lot of fun.
But that is an option.
That queue system was amazing. Because like you said, it was this big festival area. Mm-hmm. They had multiple gift shops, multiple games.
Right.
Lots of things. And you, we were waiting to get in, but it sure as hell didn't feel like it.
Exactly.
It was a lot better than standing around in cattle gates in a field.
Exactly. It definitely was that.
And so yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Oh, thank you for that point, Crystal. Mm-hmm. That was excellent. Number Renfest. Renfest compulsion takes over. Renfest are 360-degree experiences. Their costumes and immersion is way on point.
Yeah.
Once again, even smaller ones like this one.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been on the grounds of others, too. We went on the grounds of one in Mississippi. We drove around. Penny took us.
Oh, yeah.
We went on the grounds. It was not open. It was not an active festival.
Right.
But we were on the grounds. And it was the same thing.
Yeah, it was.
360-degree immersion. All the buildings, all the structures, everything are built to not break immersion. They might use modern construction techniques.
Yeah.
But they look, from every angle you can look at them, like they're appropriate for the period. And likewise, all employees dress in costume / character.
Right.
Now, the exception is, of course, any people who need to not be in character.
Yes.
Like emergency personnel, guides that would tell you where to go, things like that.
Yeah, security people, exactly.
They were not in... I mean, you didn't have the sheriff walking around in Renaissance wear with a big sheriff's badge on, clanging a bell. You didn't have that. You had regular, good old-fashioned parish sheriff's office people there.
Yes, in bright neon green shirts.
Yes, you had the regular people there. And that's because they had to be.
Yeah.
Everyone else, every shopkeep, everyone working the festival in any remote way, they were in character.
Yes. In character, speaking
in the weird lingo.
Yeah, the romanticized language of the era.
Which is, okay, look, ye never existed. Like, ye old shop.
Yeah.
Ye old shop. That bullshit never existed. It's the old shop. I mean, you guys sound stupid. Because the Y is a thorn. It's called a thorn. It's not actually a Y. And I did not know all this until Ellie brought it into our house.
And now she's a linguist.
Because she's a linguist, and I can't get it out of my goddamn head every time I see it. Right. I just my butthole puckers every time I see it on one of the little signs. Remember, it's not ye old shop.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyways, it didn't exist. It's not a thing. The thorn is the TH sound, look like a Y. They made a symbol for it.
Right.
Okay. Calm down. We're going to get through this podcast, I promise. Somehow, some way, we will survive. But that's the one thing I really did enjoy is that the Renfest do spend as much time on their exteriors and their facades as they do on their interiors.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying haunted attractions have to quite do that.
Yes.
But there are a lot of haunts you go to where they sometimes will have a very great facade, but while you're standing in line and seeing other parts of the building... It becomes very clear this is a metal building in a field in southeast Louisiana.
Right.
Not naming names.
No.
And the thing is this, you don't necessarily have to wrap the entire building. You could do the Disney World thing of just making sure the facade extends far enough that people can't see around it easily.
Right, exactly. Field of vision.
Yeah, you got to think about the field of vision, not necessarily a complete 360-degree wrap.
Yeah, now, if you have a great facade and your haunt inside does not live up to that expectation, that's a different problem.
Another haunt knows what we're talking about here. Yeah, that's a separate issue. But the point is, if you're going to do this festival thing, if you're going to try to encourage people to spend more time at your haunt, which you should be doing, one of the things to think about is make sure the field of vision remains unbroken. That illusion, no matter where they stand on your property, that they're able to get to, obviously. You don't worry about the employee-only areas.
Right.
Don't go cuckoo with this.
Yeah.
But make sure that it's unbroken. and make sure that your employees, except the ones that absolutely have to be, you know, not in costume, are in costume and are in character.
No.
Easy peasy. All right. Number four, the variety of activities. This is the thing I really sink my teeth into this time around.
Yeah.
Renfests aren't about one activity.
No.
It has, you have games, you have shows, you have attractions, you have shopping, you have food, you have drinking.
Yes.
Which I completely forgot to put on the list, probably because I was drinking. Yeah, and the thing about it is almost none of it is actually owned or operated by the festival.
Correct.
Renfests bring in outside performers. And in fact, many performers talk about working the Renfest circuit.
Right.
They bring in outside performers, crafters, people to fill the various booths, various stages and everything in their attraction.
Right, and a lot of times those crafters are local.
Yep.
Sometimes they aren't, but a lot of times they are, and they've built their own staging area for their stuff, and they pay the Renfest in order to be able to sell there.
Yeah, and that to me is a pretty brilliant system. The Renfest is not taking on the risk of hiring the people, bringing in the goods, and so forth, but they are collecting revenue in the form of rent.
Yes.
And that works out kind of well. Now, we have seen a couple of haunts try this. Creepy Hollow rented out a craft booth to someone. They only had one.
Yeah.
But, gotta get points for trying.
We bought something from them.
Give them big points for trying.
Yeah.
So, this is something where I think haunted attractions really could expand very easily. But not just in terms of like crafts and gift shops, but also performers.
Yeah.
You could easily have a stage with various performers on there. Now, the House of Shock did it, but they took the onus on themselves to hire these people, and it was a captive audience situation.
Right. And the audience wasn't expected to tip those performers either.
There was no way to tip. Not only were they not expected, it was physically impossible.
Yeah. And I mean, every performer that we saw, it's like, this is how we make our money. Please buy our CDs, our stuff. And if you
I'm not letting Buttercup go back to Guitar Center. I refuse. I'll buy 10 CDs.
Yeah.
Don't let poor Buttercup go back to work in Guitar Center.
Yeah. Yeah. That's much worse than having stuff Boudin.
And stuff Boudin. Oh, Jackdaws.
Anyway, so yeah, you could totally set up different stage areas and rent them out to these acts.
Yeah.
For a fraction of a cost for however long they're going to be there.
Yeah.
And have them make their own money.
If you're in a big enough city where you've got a good performance scene, especially like a burlesque and variety show scene, there's real opportunity here to do this.
Right.
Invite some of those performers to bring their act here, and maybe you'll have to pay them, maybe not. It depends on the arrangements you reach. But it's an opportunity for them to gain exposure and make more money, and a chance for you to offer something people to do instead of just standing in a queue line.
Yeah. And I mean, the acts that we go to see now, we had no idea who they were whenever we first went.
Mm-hmm.
We were just on a day like today. We had extra time and we were wandering around.
I remember drunkenly stumbling into Christoph the Insulter show the very first time. And being blown away by his evisceration of multiple people. And then deciding this was my new Renfest thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been my Renfest thing.
It has.
Ever since then, I have been the grand finale once at a Christophian Salter show.
In fact, we go back to Renfest and pay the entry fee just to go see Christoph a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing stuff. But so, yeah, this is something that you can do to, like I said, then the goal here is to not have people standing around doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing is your enemy.
Yes.
Okay. Number five. I actually went back and I researched this one because I got curious.
Yeah, I looked at it too.
Special events.
Yep.
Every Renaissance festival, it seems, has special events.
Mm-hmm.
Our local one, once again, Louisiana Renaissance Festival, had multiple theme weekends. Every weekend that they were open had a theme.
Yes.
First, it was Mask Weekend, which, okay, that's kind of lame.
Well, it was also right after Halloween.
Fair enough. Heroes and Pirates, which is usually the big one, the Pirate Weekend.
Right.
Celtic Weekend, which I'm surprised that's not the big one with the local culture in this area.
Yeah.
The Romance Weekend, Time Traveler / Family.
Yeah.
That's not a good weekend for me to go. And the Fireworks Finale, which was this weekend.
So it is, because it's sci-fi meets Renfest. So yeah. It is, but it's not at the same time.
Do you really want to go on Family Weekend? Do you really? But anyways, so yeah, I see with a Renfest, much like a haunted attraction, there's already inherent FOMO.
Right.
People don't want to miss out because it's already a time limited event. This show is going to be around for, once again, about a month and a half, about 16 nights, you know?
Yeah.
You're looking at about the same number of nights here. It's going to be around about the same number of nights, and once it's over, it's gone. You can go next year, mm-hmm. but it won't be the same show.
Right.
Not exactly, at least.
No, I mean, we never know if our favorite performers are coming back, yep. or if our shops are going to be there. In fact, one of our friends who had a shop there last year doesn't have a shop there this year.
Yeah, he sold his deck. He sold his thing.
Yeah, exactly. So...
You know, told it to a bookseller, which is just weird.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice, but he probably didn't have a lot of say in it.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, so yeah, this got me thinking about the possibility of adding... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The other thing that they did to help people at the shows was they put what rating the show was.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, yeah. Even though they mucked it up with
yeah, they mucked it up with one. It was supposed to be PG-13 instead of G, but
well, actually, according to the program, they were supposed to be PG, but whatever.
Yeah,
they're stealing the MPAA system. I mean,
yeah,
which is a separate bag of worms there, but
At least they tried.
At least they tried. Long and short of it is they did actually in the program and elsewhere announce the rating for the show so you can know if you could bring your kiddies to it and whatnot.
Exactly.
That was a good thing. You are correct. Yeah, getting back on the special event. Sorry.
Yeah.
Good backtrack there. Why don't haunts have special weekends? We have flashlight nights and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not fond of those. That's not
no, I feel like flashlight nights are a ripoff.
Yeah. I feel about flashlight nights the way I felt about that haunt in Atlanta we were blindfolded in.
Yeah.
Like, son of a bitch, I paid full price to go to a haunt they didn't even have to decorate.
Yeah, exactly.
My God, I could be walking through a warehouse with iron drums and nothing else.
Yeah, and it's
probably was.
Kind of becoming special events with the holidays, but not really the same.
Not what we're talking
thing.
About here.
Yeah.
You know, why not? I mean, okay, if we're going all in on the clown thing.
Yeah.
Why not have a clown weekend?
Yeah.
Where you go crazy with clowns. Maybe encourage your customers to wear clown crap.
Not full makeup, though.
No.
Because we know that causes problems and issues. Because you don't want your customers to look like your actors. Because then somebody will say, that actor assaulted me and it wasn't an actor, it was a customer. And
fair
so,
enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could have clown weekend where you go all in on the clown stuff.
Yeah.
You could have... You know, Knights and Dragons weekend. You could have a kid-friendly weekend or a kid-friendly night. And some haunts are doing that now, or a kid-friendly at least
right.
time. You can have these special events sprinkled throughout your season.
Or throughout the year.
Yeah, theoretically throughout the year. But at least throughout the season. And that way you encourage people to come back multiple times over the year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I went to the haunt, you know, on the regular night. But this is clown weekend.
Yeah.
You know? I could see people doing that.
I could, yeah.
People jump at stuff. It's classic monster weekend.
Aliens.
It's alien week. You know, yeah. Why not? Why don't we have special events? Why don't we have... And that's just it. The show has to be changed, and that's what they do, too, is they... Their people will dress up more pirate-like or more whatever-like or...
Yeah, slightly at least.
It's honestly not a huge change on Renfest, but with a haunt, I mean, this is as simple in many cases as changing some of the stock costumes you use.
Yeah.
Instead, maybe your zombies become clowns for a night.
Clown zombies.
Oh, good God, no. I mean, yeah, okay, it's not the easiest change in the world, but it changes the show drastically without moving a single wall.
Yeah.
And once again, you double up the FOMO.
And without retraining your actors.
Yeah.
Because they're doing the same role, just in a different costume.
Yeah. Same people, same walls, very different show from the perspective of the customer.
Yeah. Although, you know, they probably would want different lines.
Yeah.
For different
lines. Honka, honka, honka. All right, let's just move on. Why don't we?
Yeah.
Six, this was your suggestion, and I loved it. This was your observation here. The reduction of pain points. It was in episode 197. We listed the pain points.
Right.
And you were the one who noticed that the pain points we talked about were all minimized very nicely.
Yes.
By our RenFest.
Yeah, it is.
Parking was free and easy. I don't understand what the paid parking is.
I've seen one person do it and I felt bad for them.
Okay, this is a comedy moment here because when you pull up to the thing where you're going to park.
Right.
And they have the first flag person. There's a cone set in the middle and it's like free parking to the left. $5 paid parking to the right. And I'm like, well, fuck you. I'm getting the free parking.
Yeah. I see. There's plenty of spaces.
And it's not like you're hurting for room, so no. We're going to take the free parking. And apparently the $5 gets you access to like a slightly special, closer up. We were parked really close.
Yeah.
Just by sheer happenstance, admittedly. It was dumb luck. Because the way the parking lot shaped, we got lucky even though we were later. Yeah. But still, it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like you said, we've seen one person do it, and it was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so the parking is free and easy. Multiple types of payment are taken. They can take cash, obviously, everywhere. And
there's multiple locations to take my money.
Yeah.
To get me access.
Yeah. One of the things I really like that our RenFest does do is even though a lot of them were not working today, they have automatic kiosks for tickets. Now, let's be clear about how easy these automatic kiosks are. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Because I did it today. I did it one of the ones that was working. You walk up. It says, do you want to buy a ticket? You tap the screen. What do you want to buy? It's two buttons. Children or children or adult, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go, bing, bing, two adult tickets, please, right?
Yeah.
It says, please insert card to buy tickets. You insert the card. It says, please remove card. You pull the card out. It prints the tickets.
Yeah.
That was it. I was done so goddamn fast, I thought I'd broken it. I didn't think I'd completed the transaction.
Yeah. And they also offer season passes.
Yes.
So that if you're doing all of these different weekends and you want to go to all the different weekends, then you can buy a season pass.
And that's a good idea if you're going to offer a lot of different weekends. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a valid point. So, yeah, they take multiple types of payment in multiple locations. And here's the thing. That's no small miracle given where this is located.
No.
There's not even cell signal.
No, there's not.
Like, and let me just be clear. It's not just like me and my crappy T-Mobile, you know, prepaid plan that doesn't have cell signal. Ellie with her high-end Verizon plan doesn't get it either.
Right, exactly.
Nobody gets cell signal in this park.
No.
Now, they do offer free Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi to the plebs. I can't stop saying it, Wi-Fi. Thank you, Shawnee. Ton of a dirty little be nice.
Yeah.
Be nice to Ellie's son. I'll be nice. Anyways, but they do offer free Wi-Fi, but it is not the greatest. Don't plan your hopes and dreams on it.
No, in fact, most of the day-to-day with the Saints game, we weren't able to access it at all.
We couldn't even access the website just to confirm what we were doing.
Yeah.
But yeah. So they have the payment thing down pretty much broadly. And even though there are some booths that only take cash, they do have multiple ATMs on site. And by ATMs, they call them antique teller machines, which is basically a booth with a person inside who takes your credit card and gives you cash.
Yeah.
It's because they don't actually have automatic teller machines.
Yeah.
But still, it shows an investment in reducing that pain point.
Mm-hmm.
They have plentiful restrooms.
Yes.
And they are mostly adequately clean.
Yes.
There was one tragedy today, but it was at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it's at one of the most popular bars because it's the hidden bar.
Yeah.
And the first year that we went there, it was actually hidden. We were like one of three people.
Yeah. We wandered into it on accident.
Exactly. Because there were no signs.
We heard music. We heard there was a sign hidden bar and we heard music. And like, well, there's something up that there hill. And
yeah.
We went up that there hill and there was a that there bar.
Exactly.
So,
it's also
yeah.
the bar with all the lambics.
Yes.
We found out today.
Yeah, that's going to be my new jam, I think, at that place.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they had adequate staff to give guidance. Everyone there at every shop was able to navigate you to anything. You could ask literally anyone
yes.
if you needed guidance. And even if you were not comfortable with that, there were plenty of people not in costume, like we said, for that purpose.
Yes.
Maps, you couldn't, like, I literally tripped on a map today. Literally.
Yeah.
How do you trip on a map? I don't know. I found a way.
Yeah.
It's because it got under my feet as I was trying to slide, and then it was weird.
Yeah.
But it caused issues. Mm-hmm. But no, I literally tripped on a map today. There's signage and schedules everywhere. You can't get too lost there.
Right.
And basically go back, read episode 197, and think about how haunts are hit and miss with these issues,
mm-hmm.
and Renfest tend to be much better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hitting at. And number 7, the final one, the importance of a unique experience. Why do people go to Renfests?
I don't know. Why do they?
Ask me why.
Exactly.
It's because it's a unique experience you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't live near a medieval times or anything like that, and I don't think that's the same experience anyway.
No, we almost went to one once, and then we decided, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, when we were in Illinois, actually, doing the Lost Souls tour.
Yeah, because we couldn't confirm whether or not they had cedar floor.
Yeah, that would be a very good reason not to go.
Yeah.
For you.
Exactly.
Not for anyone else on the planet, but for her, yes, an absolutely great reason not to go.
Yes.
And we actually called them, didn't we?
Yeah.
And they didn't answer.
No, because they weren't open yet.
Anyways, so think about this. Renfairs offer an experience you can't really get anywhere else, and it's a time-limited deal. Very much like haunted attractions.
Mm-hmm.
To that end, though, what is unique about your haunt? Because a Renfair doesn't usually have competition from other Renfairs of the same size or stature anywhere nearby. Mm. Like I said, the nearest other one to us, I think there's the one in Mississippi, and there's the one in Texas.
Right. And a lot of people do opt to go to the one in Texas because it's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest one in the area.
Yeah. But that being said, what is unique about your haunt?
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've harped on this a lot
mm-hmm.
over the course of the past 210 episodes, but a lot of haunts go, we're just the scariest haunted attraction. No. What's unique?
Yeah.
What's special about your experience?
Yes.
Think about it. What is something that you have, that you do, that no one else does in your area?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a good answer for that, it's time to get something unique.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why there aren't, like I said, Renfest super close together, because it couldn't be sustained. A, just the sheer actors and talent you need, it couldn't be done.
Right.
But more to the point, if customers can easily and trivially get this Renfair experience anytime they want, there's little reason to go on a particular weekend.
Yeah.
There's no critical mass there. Mm-hmm. So that's something for you to think about. Now, haunts, obviously, there are usually multiple haunts in any population center.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about what makes yours stand out from others, because you want people to make damn sure that, yeah, they can go to other haunts, and they probably will, but you want to make sure that your haunt is on the list of ones they have to see.
Yeah.
Because it does X. That whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It does X. I mean, and that's just it. You have to find that unique thing, and that's what Renfairs offer. They do it through exclusivity.
Right.
Haunts can't do that, so we've got to find our own way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's everything. I think we covered it quite nicely. Not a bad recovery after a very, very long day.
Yes.
And baking in the sun of southeast Louisiana, as Christoph noted, listening to the Nutria and the Baptist lament in the wilderness.
Yes.
Mostly Baptists this time around, because it was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, and also Saints fans after that loss.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Saints fan lamenting too. But anyways, thank you very much for joining us for this episode 210 of Haunt Weekly. You can find more of our stuff at hauntweekly.com. We're Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All the previous episodes are there for your perusal. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. We're probably already there.
Yeah.
Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week at probably not Renaissance Fair stuff, because the Renaissance Fair is closed.
Yeah.
So we'll think of something and we'll see you guys then.